the sixth chapter for just a few minutes this afternoon. And probably just take a few minutes and just something that, I don't know, as I was reading this the other day, it just kind of resonated with me. I don't know why for sure, but I just want to talk about it just a little bit. And Romans, the sixth chapter, in the first verse, we could read that whole chapter and just really, you know, there's just so much there, but we'll read probably about 14 verses and then kind of see what it has to say. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from, get over here, alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You can read that whole chapter, and it's really pretty rich. He said here, what shall we say then? Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How many know you were saved by grace through faith? We're born again because of our faith in Jesus Christ, and it's all because of the grace of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He shed that grace to us. He give us that grace. It's there. It's a free, available gift to us, this salvation. You today are proclaiming to be Christians. Am I correct? You say, I'm a Christian. Well, then, if you are a Christian, you are dead to sin. And he says, shall we continue in sin? And Paul is challenging this erroneous idea that some can be Christians and continue to do everything they ever did, every way that they ever did it. No change ever come over them. Paul was challenging that idea, that theory, and that people were believing they could continue to do what they wanted to do and still be secure. Someone said to me the other day, you believe in eternal security. I do, in a sense. If I'm saved, I'm saved. If I'm walking in the Word of, living the Word of God, and if I do make a mistake and I ask Jesus to forgive me, I'm safe. If I confess my sins. But if I want to continue in sin, tread upon the blood of Jesus, walk upon His grace, and do my own thing after I say I've become a Christian, then I doubt that you're really a Christian. I have a lot of problem with that personally, because I believe if you become a Christian, you, as Paul said here, you were baptized into Jesus Christ, into his death. You were raised up in newness of life. So you died to self and become a new person in Jesus Christ. When I got saved, I got up from the altar. It's a back pew, by the way. I got up from the, well, that, the first time it was an altar, the one I really got prayed through good. When we got back in church, I was in a back pew. I got up in that back pew. If I'd have went and looked in the mirror, I'd look the same. I might have had some red eyes from crying. I couldn't have runny makeup because I didn't wear any. I might have had, you know, some my hair mused a little bit, messed up just a little bit. But if you'd look at me, you'd say, you look the same. That's still Dennis. Come on now. But something changed on the inside. Sin died. The old man died. And I was raised up in newness of life. You can ask my wife. She would attest to this. Although not perfect, I'm in the process of perfection. All not having attained what I will be, I'm on a road towards that. I was different. I believe she would, yeah, a big one, yeah. I'm different than I was. And I'm ever changing and evolving in Christ. Not perfect, but being perfected. But yet perfect in the eyes of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying, you cannot distort the gospel by saying, I got saved, but I still do what I want to do. In that you still serve the old man. Now you can say I got saved and I do what I want to do because there's a change came. Because you're a different person. Because the old man died and you do these things that Christ commands and the Word of God tells us about. And you're a new person and you do what you like. Paul said there's a mystery one time. He said there's a mystery. The things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. What was he saying? Well, this flesh wants to do these things that the flesh wants to do, but the spirit man prevents him, so I do what I don't want to do because I want to please God. There's a warfare. He described it like this. There's a warfare going on. There's two parts of me. There's a flesh man and there's a spirit man, and they're fighting because the flesh continues to want to do what flesh does, but the spirit man wants to do what the spirit directs him to do. You understand? So we're in a warfare. But we, as Christians, have to make up our mind that we no longer continue in sin. That we have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust of the flesh. We have done that. What is sin, you might say? Well, the Greek, there's several Greek words to describe sin and its various aspects. And there's some that's the more important than others. And one of them, and I'm going to read several of them to you, just so you understand what sin is. There's one that is, it's ham. How y'all like that? Ham. Smoked. Ham. Hamartia. Which means transgressions, wrongdoing, or sin against God. Then there's adikia, which stands for wrongdoing, wickedness, and injustice, which could be also described as a lack of love, since all wrongdoing stems from our failure to love. So there's those two words, this wickedness and this transgression, this wrongdoing, this sin against God. And then the next one would be injustice or a lack of love. And so that would be basically one that would mean that you don't love others, which would be a sin for not loving, for we have to love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves God, or everyone that... Loveth not God, because God is love. So we have to love everybody. That's why I can stand in this pulpit and I can look at everybody here and I can say, you know, I love you. In Christ, I love you. I'm not in love with you. I love you. I don't have any bad ideas about the love. I love you in Christ. So we all should love. And so Paul said here, then another one was, it's the same pronunciation, but this is the same one. It's a personal power that can enslave and deceive. This adikia. It enslaves and it deceives you. This love. It's a lack of love. This sin is a lack of love and it enslaves you. Have you ever known people who said they loved but they really didn't? Or they loved if they were being loved. Or they would reciprocate if being given, but they weren't going to step out of the norm and they weren't going to love just because the Bible says to. It was always, I'll love you if. I'll like you if. But not just, I love you in spite of you. You have to learn to love. Boy, in ministry, 25 years of ministry here at the church, we have to overlook a lot of things. And everybody's had to overlook me a lot, I'm sure. Don't say no. I don't need no amens there. We've all have to overlook one another. We learn to love in spite of each other's personalities or little quirks. But some people can't because they haven't got the love of God in their hearts. They've not been truly born again. And then another one is anomia, which denotes lawlessness, iniquity, and defiance of the law of God. You know people like that? They are defiant. I don't want nothing to do with God. Don't want nothing to do with you because you say you love God. I'm defiant. They just don't believe. Some even say, I don't believe there's a God. I seen a little deal the other day, and a guy said, it's a barber, and this guy got a haircut, and it was captioned. It was in a foreign language, and the guy got a haircut, and he had his Bible there, and he started witnessing to the barber, and the barber said, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in all that stuff. If there was a God, there wouldn't be all this lawlessness. If there was a God, there wouldn't be all this pain. If there was a God, there wouldn't be all this rape. If there's God, there wouldn't be all this war. I don't believe there's a God. Because you say God's love, and if God's love, there wouldn't be all this stuff happening in the world. So the guy said, well, you got me. So he turns around, he walks out of the barbershop, and there's a guy with really long hair and a gruffy beard standing outside the barbershop. He thought, aha. He said, come with me, would you? So the guy goes in, he walks in there, and says, you know what? I don't believe in barbers. What do you mean you don't believe in barbers? I don't believe there's no such thing as barbers. Well, yeah, there is. I'm a barber. I just cut your hair. I said, they don't make no difference. There's no such thing as barbers. Well, how could you say that? You know I'm a barber. He says, yeah, but if there was really barbers in the world, there wouldn't be any scruffy, long-haired people left in the world. Everybody would have a haircut. Everybody would be clean-shaven. Because how can you say that? They have to come to me before I can give them a haircut. He goes, exactly. If you want all this mayhem and all this hate and all this war and all these things to end, people have to come to God. He exists, but you got to come to Him. So there are people who don't believe God exists, but He does. And they're lawless, and they'll do anything they want to do. It don't matter to them. They'll do it because they don't believe in God. And they're selfish. They're full of disbelief. They're unfaithful. So, ultimately, sin becomes a refusal to be subject to God and His Word. Well, if that's kind of a definition of what sin could be, a refusal to line up to God's Word or to believe in God's Word and be subject to God's Word, will and His Word, then there might be a lot of people who profess Christianity are not Christians because they refuse to be subject to anything except their own free will. They will not subject themselves to the Word of God. They will not subject themselves to God. But sin is enmity against God. It separates you from God. It brings disobedience to God. It causes unbelief to God. If sin is a moral corruption that in humans that opposes all better human intentions. Now, there's a lot of good people out there that aren't Christians. We know that. There's a lot of them. They lack that one thing, a relationship with Jesus Christ, which would change everything. There's a lot of good people. We have people, there's just a lot of good people out there. They just don't know Christ. Don't want to know Christ. Or they feel like because of their works and their good life, they're law-abiding citizens. They don't harm anybody. They take care of their family. You know, they may even support a church. May even go to church once or twice a week or once or twice a month or a couple times a year. They're good people. They're not going to hell. Well, I don't know about that. If they're not been born again, they're not living God's word, then perhaps they're not Christians. But I'm glad you are. As Dale said earlier, oh, guys, she didn't say it like this. Let me say it like this. You're the cream of the crop. You know, what's that stuff out of that can you can spray in your mouth? Whipped cream. Y'all's the whipped cream on top of the pumpkin pie. You're the best. You're the cheese on the chili. You're good people, but you've been born again, and you're trying to live for God. There's a difference. There's a difference. Then Paul goes on to say, here he says in verse 2, God forbid that we should continue in sin. He says, how are we that are dead to sin? How are we that are dead to sin? How can we live any longer in sin? If you've died to sin, if you've really been born again, you will not continue to willfully sin. And when you do transgress against the word of God or against your neighbor or your someone, you are immediately checked or convicted in your heart. Your inner man is convicted. And you immediately, or you should immediately, make it right. Don't blame others. Don't excuse your behavior. Just fess up. As difficult as that is to the flesh, as hard as it might be, give you a brief example. This morning, a lady told me, said, you know, you need to put some stuff out there because there's ice out there, and if people get out of their car, they'll spit. And I said, you know what? That ain't going to bother nobody, and besides that, they can see that ice. They can miss it. Well, the car pulled in, and you know what? Sure enough, it's right where they'd get out of the car, and they couldn't see it. What I have to do, Penny, you were right. I ain't happy about it, Penny, but you were right. That's just a small thing. That wasn't no big thing. We weren't arguing about that thing. But she was right. Now, I could have said, you know, Penny, you wasn't right. They just didn't park correct. I could have made an excuse and made a big deal out of it. It wasn't no big deal. We weren't arguing about it, so it wasn't no big deal. But I'm just using that. That's just a small thing. I needed to express that I was incorrect. But oftentimes, many people will never, ever say, I'm sorry. You know, when I first got married, I tried that. There was a movie come out. It's called The Love Story. And it was, I forget it's called Love Story. Some of you seen it. You probably did, didn't you, Penny? I can't remember the actors right now. It was, what? Anyway, in this, one of the key lines in that movie was this, and I think the man told the lady, or she, one of them said to the other, love means never having to say you're sorry. I thought, oh, I like that. So the first time I did something I shouldn't do and Willene got mad, I said, you know, Willene, love means you never have to say you're sorry. That ain't the kind of love I grew up on. You want supper tonight, you will say, you're sorry. But love means you don't have to say, yes, you do. Love means you say it immediately. You recognize your fault. Just saying you're sorry don't mean you're sorry. What I mean don't mean you're sorry. It means you're sorry for what you did, but don't mean you're a sorry person. Or that you failed. Or that you're a loser. It means you're probably on a better road and a better place than if you wouldn't say it. Because if you won't ever say you're sorry and you're so caught up in yourself and you think you're so perfect, you're certainly not perfect. You probably got a problem. But some people will never say it. They'll never admit fault. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're all at fault at one time or another. Every single one of us are at fault at one time or another. Sometimes more than once a day. Just get used to it. Pray through, straighten up, quit doing it. If you don't like the way it makes you feel, stop doing it. But Paul said, we should not live in sin any longer. Know ye not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. When you were buried with him in baptism. Now, baptism in water is a symbol of the believer's burial and resurrection in Christ. That's what that is. But when you get saved, before you ever reach this baptismal font, or this tub, or whatever you want to call this sauna, whatever you want to call that, before you ever reach that, you've been baptized into the church, into Jesus Christ, immediately by his Spirit. And you've been raised up in newness of life. You were baptized, the old man died, and you were raised a new creation, a new creature. And because of that, you should walk in newness of life, because this old man has died. This old unregenerate self, the person you once was, the one that lived in sin, has died. He is dead. You have been made dead to sin, but raised alive in Jesus Christ. You are a new person. You see, this old man, this body of sin, refers to the human body as it is controlled by sinful lust, to the slavery of sin. That has been broken. To say I have to sin and I can't help myself is making the Word of God a lie. Once you get saved, you're no longer a slave to the sin. The old man died. This something just came alive in me when I was reading this other day, and I hope I'm explaining it quite right to you, but this old man died. We've been freed from sin. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We don't have to serve this body of sin no longer. This flesh man should no longer be boss. It is sometime. We have to fight it. We have to crucify it. Daily. But it shouldn't win. I know it does sometime, but it shouldn't. Flesh rules, you know that. Flesh fights you, spirit, all the time. He wants to do things he hadn't ought to do. He wants to go and see what he shouldn't see and go. Go where he shouldn't go and see what he shouldn't see. Flesh fights us. Flesh wants to sometime on a cold Sunday morning lay up under them covers, stay in the bed, and say, let them go to church if they want to, but I'm staying here. Feels good. Don't want to get out. But you know what bothers me about that when people say that on a Sunday? Most of the time they roll out early on a Monday. When it's too bad to go to church on Sunday, it's never too bad to go to work on Monday. Too sick to go to church on Sunday, but I'm well by Monday. What a miracle. It happens a lot. But we crucify the flesh and the affections and lust of the flesh. Why? Because we no longer serve sin. Sin died when I got saved. It died when I got saved. And I'm so glad today. Verse 11, and all this goes together, and I don't have time to go through it all, but verse 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God. Yield yourselves unto God. Don't let sin reign. Amen? Don't let sin reign. I think y'all are just reading that for yourself, but you were born again, you died to sin, sin was dethroned, and you must continually resist its effort to gain control. It's always trying to regain control through the desires primarily of the Bible, of the body. We must deny those lusts of the flesh and let Jesus Christ reign and rule, and the Holy Spirit be our supreme guide as we navigate this water, these waters of life. You can win. Sin died when you got saved. You were raised up in newness of life, and you are victorious. You are victorious. I don't want to say you can be. I want to say you are victorious because you are following the Word of God, and you're not allowing sin to reign in your mortal body. You're going to win. Amen. Jesus is coming soon, morning, night, or noon. Better get ready. I don't know when he's coming. We may lay our heads on our pillows tonight and never get out of bed again. Jesus may just take us away. It's going to happen one of these days, and soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. I'm excited, aren't you? Go see Jesus. Let's have a time of prayer.